Gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Among the Realms here at the Trinity Metaphysical Center. I am one of your hosts this evening. My name is Paul, and with us, a little smaller group today, we have Jackie, Dana, and Vera. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
There you go. The number to call in is 347-633-9648, and we have been asked to do this topic because there is some confusion. It does relate to the law of attraction, but more importantly, how do you attract positive and healthy relationships? How do you attract money and success? How do you attract true love, better health, etc., etc.? We have gone over law of attraction before in previous episodes, but just to refresh everyone's memory, the law of attraction. Well, before I say anything, do you ladies, what's your definition of the law of attraction?
I want to hear Jackie say it because she put it into very succinct things before.
What the law of attraction is? Yeah. The law of attraction is when you're able to bring to you or manifest or attract to you what it is you desire, what you want, but it's done in a way that you truly believe it, feel it, or breathe it, eat it, sleep it, basically. And it's like you just know you're going to have it, you know, with unwavering faith. That's how I like to word it.
Does it absolve you from doing any work on it? Or?
No. And that's the big thing. Like when we discuss this, you know, on other episodes, we talked about a lot of different things that we could attract. But one of the things that people were asking was that maybe they have been trying to use the law of attraction and they weren't able to make it work, or they didn't believe in it because you can't just bring things by thinking it. And you aren't going to get it if you're just sitting on your couch saying, oh, I'm going to make $1 million, and that's what you're doing. You still have to put some work. So if you have a goal and you're trying to reach something or achieve something, and you're completely having, you know, your mindset in that, the thought process of, I know I'm going to have this, or I know I'm going to get this, and you are keeping your positive thoughts, then you're actually doing stuff to bring it in too. So it works with energy, and you know, we obviously know here how that works. You know, you come in a good mood, everybody around you is in a good mood, and if they weren't, they kind of somehow end up getting filtered out. But like, it just seems like you have a great day. When you start to have a bad day and you're like, what else is going to happen? There's always something else that happens, and then you just can't wait to go to bed at the end of the night because you just had a really crappy day. And you don't think about it, but if you actually like kept a logbook of like, okay, how was the day? Like, how, you know, this day went really bad. How did it start? You know, did it start bad? Did I wake up in a bad mood? Did I start a fight? You know, did I have a flat tire? It doesn't matter what it is. Did somebody cut me off? Usually it's something. And it's important for us to get ourselves back into that positive place. But you can't expect it to come to you, you know, and just appear in your lap either. You know, we say that.
So what you're saying is, you can attract it, but you should have a plan to get it.
Yeah, well, you should have a goal you're working towards, you know. And, you know, for the people who have come in front of me, there's there's hundreds of them that I tell them to read The Secret or listen to The Secret or watch The Secret, because that's one of the ones I like the most for. It's got a lot of different viewpoints, and it has a lot of different ways that people have achieved what it is they were trying to, and people who are homeless to, you know, to where they're billionaires, those type of things, or people who were they didn't think they could ever walk again, and they're walking and talking, you know, so all different aspects. And I think, you know, those people, they did the work, you know, so they decided what they wanted to do, and they just kept forging ahead, and eventually it ended up coming about, you know. And it's like they say, you know, you don't give up, you know, you don't quit before the miracle occurs, but you never, the trick to the law of attraction is to never let your mindset get to where it's, I'm never going to have it, or, you know, I can't get this or I can't do that. So you don't ever want your fears to take over your desires. You always want to have that positive mindset. And that's usually where the skeptics are like, oh, yeah, if I think positive, I'm just going to, you know, make it come. You know, but we just talked about energy. And specifically in relationships, that's a perfect thing because people, if somebody feels good, they want to be around you. If you're negative, you're grumpy looking, or you're emitting this, like, unapproachable energy, why would somebody want to be around you? How are you going to find somebody, you know, to share your life with? You might say you want a relationship or you want somebody, but how do you think you're going to bring it in? You know, you're going to bring somebody in just like you. And then people wonder why they're in those kind of things, you know?
So basically what you're saying is if you believe in the law of attraction and you want to attract that goal that you have, be it money and a relationship, you should really try to be around people that either have similar goals or believe in the same mm-hmm. thing, that you attract what you want.
Oh, yeah, even like-minded people.
Like-minded people. So we're lucky that we're around like-minded people. And
well, it's not lucky. We made a conscious mm-hmm. effort to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah, that's the way, that's exactly it, mm-hmm. the conscious effort. And making sure your subconscious is imbalance with your conscious mind, because you can be saying you're going to do this, I'm going to get that, I'm going to have this, and subconsciously be in misery just saying, you know, it's never going to come, when's it going to come, I'm not going to, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's never, you're constantly fighting it. And that's what people, I think, don't understand when they're like, I'm doing the secret and I'm saying this, I'm doing that. I'm like, yeah, but then what are you thinking? You might be saying one thing, but thinking another.
So would it be fair to say that we should try to cut people out of our lives that aren't going to help us?
I think, because this episode definitely ties into last week's, and it's not necessarily cutting them out, but it's not hanging on so tightly to try to make it go the way you want, or to force it to move in a direction if they're not on that journey with you. And sometimes it's just letting go, or, you know, kind of releasing that hold. And eventually I think people just filter out. It's not that you're cutting anybody out. And I think sometimes people just end up, you know, maybe not moving along with you for a while, and maybe they come back in, you know, later on when you guys are more in that same place. But sometimes they're not helpful on your path or your journey as you're trying to achieve the goals.
It's starting to recognize who or what.
The healthy relationships.
It's healthy for you and is like in a good space for you. I mean, recognizing somebody that is pulling you down
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean you don't have to be friends with them. But it does. But don't give them the power over your life,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But well, who picks you up? You know, it's who encourages you, who gives you support, who makes you feel good when you're around them. It's not going to help if you're trying to achieve things or move along or move forward, or whether it be, you know, wanting a new home or wanting a new relationship or wanting to have more money, wanting to have a financial security. It's not even necessarily that you want extra. You just want to have that security. But you can't do it if you're surrounded by people who are more draining and more exhausting and more on that negative end, because every time you're kind of giving that your energy, it's taken away from what you're, you know, when you're getting distracted. I always say to people, you know, don't get distracted, you know, off your path. You know, don't get influenced by others. You want to keep your goal and your focus, you know, for you too. You want to help still. You just don't want to stop.
Tough to do.
It is. And that's why, you know, when we listen to motivational speakers or when we read books on, you know, the law of attraction, those people did the work, you know, and they didn't care if anybody said anything. They didn't care if people said you're too positive. They didn't care if, you know, they just knew it was going to happen. And, you know, if you're expecting it to happen tomorrow, you know, sometimes it does if it's something mm-hmm. small, like a cup of coffee, like they say. But, you know, and other times, sometimes you have to wait a couple of years. Sometimes it's coming. You just want to keep moving along. And, you know, sometimes for us, some of us who we know, like we get our information or our guidance telling us, you know, things are coming. As long as things are still staying on that path, we know they're going to come. And so we don't even think about it. You know, that's what we do now. Now we're like, nope, I know that's coming. You don't put any pressure on it. You don't, you know, get all upset because, oh, wait a minute. It's like 6 months later. It's like a year later.
I know I'm going to astral project. I know.
Exactly.
I'm going to do it. I just haven't got there yet, but I'm working on it.
Okay.
Well, I try to frame it like with people that have different jobs. So I think of myself as an attorney and how I think being negative kept me on an edge that was very good during that time, you know? And even with, there were clubs that I belonged to that will remain nameless, that if you didn't have the edge, it was, you know, just a terrible experience. But it's great to be in a position where you don't have to think about that.
Mm-hmm. Isn't this much more peaceful for you?
Oh, I'm very peaceful, but I don't think everyone has this. And no one's reached that point, or not a lot of people have reached the point in life that I have, where I honestly can pick and choose the people I'm around, because I don't have, I have the job I always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the job that I needed.
Right.
You know, so it's a whole different way. So in a way, I think it's a really difficult road for people that, like, work normal jobs. I mean, mm-hmm. I love what I'm doing now, which, you know, is readings, and I do shamanic drum circles, and I do shamanic healings, and, you know, I do the cards for people, and that's, you know, makes me...
But how did you get to that point? How did you get to the readings and all the shamanic...
Well, I think that early on in, like, my 20s, I had this bent. I had this tendency and did a lot of work in that, and then, you know, the things that kicked in for me were making money and achieving success, and it didn't pair up
with that side,
with
yeah.
it so well, so that when I was able to retire, God bless my husband, I was able then to really throw my, and I to this day I remember looking in on the internet for ghost hunting places and seeing Jackie's advertisement or her website, and it said it was going to start the next week. That's called
meant
law
to
of
be.
Meant to be, you know.
Same thing with me, yeah.
Yeah, like it was like at the
and
right...
you guys were up in the, what is your paper, the Pike?
County Dispatch.
That when the fact that it ended up in that paper was amazing.
And
you didn't plan on that?
No, it was a random, you know, put in a schedule, and they choose the paper.
Well,
put it in.
It's so it was just
so it was meant
strange.
To be. It was just the universe.
I never looked at those ads before. I mean, I never look at those ads, and for some reason, I was going through all those ads, and I saw that.
Yep. And you know, to have a husband that then I thought would never be interested, and then decided he wanted to drive me to a meeting because he didn't want me to drive this far, which by the way is not that far, but it was still. I don't do well at night, or I didn't do well at night.
You're much better now.
Yes, I'm much better now. Dane is my co-pilot. But move over to the left. Anyway, the white line is not a suggestion.
The white light
don't
is not
follow,
a snow pile on the right.
Don't follow the white light in this case.
So, you know, he got interested, and now he's probably more metaphysical than many, many people. So it's like a lovely path that we're both on, and, you know, only good things are coming to us, and, you know, that's...
But
that's
you attracted, different. Like, you had said you always pictured living in a place like you're living, and
always
you literally manifested that, like, you know...
And it was the first house we really looked at. We looked at it, and we haven't agreed in the 25 years we've been married. We've never agreed on anything. We went and we saw the house. We go in the car, and I go... I love this place. He goes, so do I. And I was like, oh, my God, that's never happened before. You never really liked the same thing. And, it was just so meant to be, and on a lot of different levels. And, you know, it's for me, it's heaven. If I, if I never had to leave my house, if I could stay there, if I could have the food and everything trucked in, I would do it because I just love being there so much, you know. And with Dave, you know, I love being with Dave. So that's the great thing. And I was able to manifest that. So, but enough about me. What about you?
Number to call in is 347-633-9648. If you want to share a story, if you have any questions about the law of attraction, give us a ring. Hopefully we'll be able to help you out. Jackie kind of touched on this before. The length of time on the law of attraction, should people like expect it tomorrow? Is it a get rich quick type of thing, or
depends what you're trying to bring in? Because you can make a parking space really quick. Just like I've done it. I've done the secret with a parking space.
I have gotten much better at that.
And it has worked every single time.
You know, there was a woman that I knew when I was in this club that everyone's nutsy in who used to do that, and I thought she was out of her gourd.
I know.
And she'd always do it, and she'd always get that. That was the most annoying thing, was she always got the space.
Yep. But I never get, I'm always like
Janine,
the most like three spaces away. And it's funny because, you know, yes, I did it this week, and my daughter was in the car, and I'm like, see, I did the secret. It was so cold that day, too. And I was like, the third space from the door, and she starts laughing. Because if, you know, I always tell people everybody's human. So there's times where, you know, your human side gets, you know, into where, you know, you just get down, or you're around so many negative people that you're getting grumpy, and, you know, you start to get affected by your surroundings or who's around you and stuff like that. And you always need something to pick you up out of that. And I always tell people it's really good if you have, you know, if it's not a support system or somebody that you can call or somebody you can text to say, you know, that can kind of pick you up, but that it's something that you can look at or something that you can focus on or read or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. But that's what she said. You know, when I get into that place, that like one of my kids will be like, "Mom, aren't you the one that always says you have to do this, like, for the secret?" So, you know, they do listen. You know, eventually who you're around does pick up on that.
And there's, like, what I think we were talking about, if not today, the other day, there's all kinds of things online that will help you get into the frame of mind where you can manifest and decide what you want and then attract it that way. And in fact, I do hypnotism and have a whole course on manifesting wealth and abundance. So, you know, the whole thing is based on the fact that in a group, you're leading them to visualize where they're going to be when they have what they want. And by them doing this, it manifests and it occurs in
and
their
life.
And
that's what that is. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And they do recommend, for some people, making a vision board is good. Putting everything on it, cutting out pictures or putting things on it that you're trying to get. You know, we used to do that. We did that a few times here, you know, at the store where we had a night where we did vision boards and things like that. And there were a lot of places people wanted to go ghost hunting. But we would do that, and then, like Vera said, there's, you know, sites online where you can listen to the things for free. A lot of them are on YouTube. The Secret's on YouTube. Paul had a couple others too that he mentioned earlier.
The Compass.
The Compass and the Opus. But don't watch those two until you've watched The Secret enough times that you actually understand it. Just don't watch The Secret once and say, "Okay, I got it," because you're not going to. You're supposed to really, you really should watch it every other day, kind of like as a reminder.
I listen to it every day in my car, every single day. I have it on CDs because I'm in my car a lot. So,
and I thought I was crazy with Louise Bell Hay.
No, because you know when it were, for me, I like listening to them because I'm actually listening to the people, and then I hear them. So if I'm not here at work, I'm in my car. So for me, it's good because I can, you know, it's a four CD thing, and you can, you know, pop it in, and whatever it is you feel like you want, you know, for that day, you can listen to, because they're separated between health and, you know, money and relationships and, you know, that type of thing. But they also have it in a book. I mean, all of these, you know, things are in a book too. But we like to give people help with what they can do in general on their own, even if they don't do that stuff. I mean, your thoughts are the biggest thing. I think we can, I think all of us can say that too. We know, I know the minute I say what else, there's a what else. And so I try really hard not to do that. And I do, you know, like I said, it happens to everybody. But I also know when I'm having a bad day, like I'll literally go in another room and say, okay, this is changing. And it can, it changes around like so fast. Like that's a time frame. That's fast. You know, if you're saying I want to make $100,000, you know, you start out with a small goal and then you work, okay, I'm going to have an extra $1,000 this month, or I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to make, you know, $50,000 by this. Like you can do that, you know, and they tell people that all the time, you know, write out a check or print out a picture of the money or whatever, but you need to be doing
something,
you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
that's funny. When I was, this is a two-part kind of thing because I had a chance to experience a life experience of a lifetime when I got to move to Africa. But the reason I got to move to Africa was because I married somebody who I probably shouldn't have married. So he was a lot of work in order to experience Africa.
And you still get malaria every once in a while.
No, I don't. You're supposed to, but I've never had a recurrence of malaria. I had it once.
Troublemaker.
Bad enough. But there was a lot of work in order to get something that I am so grateful I got to experience.
I was just going to ask you that question. People who put in a lot of work into the law of attraction, and then they finally receive what they've been wanting for so long. How does it feel?
Oh, I don't regret it for a minute. I mean, I'm sorry that he was
not so much him, but the whole experience of Africa.
If he's not listening.
The whole experience was, I'm blessed to have experienced that because I lived 5 years over there, and it's like on a safari lodge and on an island in the Indian Ocean and traveled in the Kalahari Desert, and I just saw things that people don't see, you know, that don't get to see. I mean, normally it's like extremely expensive trips if you're going to see the stuff that I saw and just saw because we were traveling around and, you know, meeting up with friends and things. And it was like, you know, I think I was blessed to have that experience. It was a window opened up and I just leaped through the window. Basically, that's how I describe my experiences sometimes. It's I just leaped through when it opened up because the window was going to close. So I did.
But it's having an attitude, too, that when something that isn't or can't be perceived as positive, if you have the attitude is, what am I supposed to learn from this? Or how does this help me?
How can I take something
from
this?
How can I take something from this thing that happened, no matter how bad it is? I try to do that all the time because I don't want to get upset over bad things that are happening. So I try to see what, you know, oh my God, that happened. That was destroyed. What was I supposed to learn from that? What do I need to do in my life to make sure it doesn't happen?
And sometimes it's just understanding that it wasn't anything you did. It mm-hmm. was just something somebody else was going through that they made a wrong decision, or they, you know, and you just kind of got caught up in it, and it's you saying, okay, I understand. I mean, I might not like it, but I understand that that person was in, you know, that this was, you know, something that was out of my control, mm-hmm. and now I can move on it and not let it, you know, be something that, you know, owns you or you feel guilty for or you can't let go of because you couldn't control it, you know. And that's a big thing for relationships, for people mm-hmm. attracting.
Well, we're still friends,
you know,
so we're better apart. but the other thing you were saying is, like, once I came back, it was like when I left the country, it was like I'm a designer and we were doing it by hand. When I came back, everything was computerized. And
learning curve.
Oh, my goodness. Learning curve. I went on one job interview, and it was like a cattle call. And they were, and it was like, I never want to do this again. So I said, within 1 month, I'm going to be making $1,000 a week. And I just set it up like that. And I went and I rented a computer. I rented videotapes. I read a, you know, how to this, how to that, and within 1 month, I was making $1,500 a week.
See?
There you go.
But I put in all the work, you know. But I said, okay, here's the plan. But I had a goal at the end of that, you know.
Dana's always, Google it. Google it. That's when I answer.
But there was no Google then.
I know, but I'm just saying. Now you're like, you have to Google it, Vera. I can't answer.
Or YouTube it, yeah.
Or YouTube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They know everything.
I know.
What do we do for the internet?
So if you're trying to start on the law of attraction, start off small. For example, for all you coffee drinkers, pretend you see yourself drinking a cup of coffee. If you don't have coffee in your house, go to the Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, wherever you go, and have a cup of coffee. That's how it starts. Today, I don't know if you ladies know, and Charlie, if you are listening, I am thinking of you. Today is National Wine Day.
Then we're all thinking of it.
Yeah. Some places actually allowed you to bring in a bottle of wine to work today. So I don't consider this work. However, we do have some wine in front of us. But to be quite honest, I really wasn't planning on having any wine today. But it just so happens that after I heard what was on the radio, I'm like, all right, a glass won't kill me. And sure enough, there we are. So always start off small. Do the simple things first. That way, when you get the reward, then I like to say, you know, go get greedy, you know. Go for the cup of coffee. Go for the wine. Now go for that parking space in the middle of Walmart or
right next
Target.
To the door, yeah.
Go big. In this case, go big or go home.
Hey, parking spaces close are big.
Yes.
That is big.
Yes.
That's huge.
It's a big one.
Especially when it's negative 40 when it's a wind chill.
That's right. That's right. So,
and especially when you're me, who does not like the winter.
Oh, brother.
At all. I want my flip-flops.
Well, can we move the coop to Florida? We can move
California.
You guys can go down to Florida. That's
California.
Fine.
California.
So, also, I want to touch a little bit on what you were saying, Dana, about the opportunities. Opportunities arise all the time. It's whether or not people actually realize it's an opportunity,
yes.
And sometimes
they block it.
They either block it or it goes right over their head,
yep.
And they completely miss it. And then we get the old, it hasn't happened yet, it hasn't happened yet. Well, that's just your killer right there.
But that's the window she was talking about.
Exactly, yes.
I do so many readings where the information will come through that, you know, there's something coming, blah, blah, blah. And I always tell people it's what's most likely to happen at that point. Like that time when you're sitting there, like where you're, like what's in your subconscious, what factors are going on in your environment, what people are there, and if something stirs it up, and that's the free will part that everybody asks about, where something changes it, or somebody does something that wasn't on that schedule, or you decide something, you completely change it. So there might be an opportunity for you right there, and then, like Paul said, all of a sudden, like, either maybe you weren't in a good mood that day, maybe you were just in a bad place, and maybe you just didn't see it, and it just flew right by you. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have it. It just means that you might be a little bit delayed, or you might be a little bit set back. But it's being aware of that, like, kind of seeing where you are and understanding that. So if you have been in a bad place, maybe you've been down, maybe you've been depressed, maybe you're not been in a good place, and you're saying, you know, I thought I was supposed to have this, or I thought I was supposed to have that, and you stop for a second and step back and say, okay, well, has there been something going on that maybe there's a reason why it hasn't come yet? Like, am I blocking it? Am I stagnant? Am I keeping it? You know what I mean? And usually if we do that, we can see that, okay, yeah, you know what? Maybe I could have done this, or maybe I stopped doing that. Or
if you're having a bad time, the thing to do is to think of something that you've always wanted to do. Think of something, and, I mean, this happened to me, you know, when I was much younger, that I don't know, for some reason I was having a bad time with something, and I was always interested in the Mayans and the Maya and Mexico and South and Central America. And I was looking at the New York Times, and there was a trip. They were talking about this group that does rafting trips in Guatemala. And it was like, I said I looked up their website. They had all these trips, and then and like 9 months later, they had this trip planned. So I didn't have the money, so I signed up for the trip, and I paid for it a little bit at a time. And for 9 months, I had something so exciting to look forward to that it just took me away from whatever bad thing that was happening to me at the moment. And when I got to that trip, it was even better than I thought it was going to be. And it was just like another one of those windows that I made for myself that was in the future, but it pulled me out of a bad place. So, I mean, if you're having a hard time with something, think of something wonderful. And it can be something simple, you know. You don't have to go far.
You know, that's a good, that's another point. I think there are some times where people in, are in such a bad place, or maybe they're in so much of what's going on with them or their head, that they do have good things right in front of them, and they don't even see it.
Right.
You know, and that I know just from, you know, people who've come in here and things, sometimes they're like, that's perfect for a relationship. I want my soulmate, I want my twin flame, I want my true love, blah, 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 blah. And yet, at the same time, they're talking about this person that's been, like, in their life, maybe it was their friend for, like, years, and they're saying how great they do all this stuff together, and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that's my friend. I don't think they're my, you know, I want this, I want that, I want the knight on the, you know, on the white horse and all this stuff. And they don't realize that right in front of them is the person that's been, like, been everything that somebody could even ask for. And a lot of times they do. When they get out of that, they do realize it. Sometimes it's years later. And it usually is when that person's moved on. When the other person's moved on, because the other one is constantly trying to find something else. And I think it works that way too. When you, like, you don't even realize you are attracting it. So you are doing the law of attraction because you're putting out what you want and you actually have it, but then you don't even know you have it. So it works in a few different ways. It's just sometimes it's people really kind of stepping back and looking in their life in general.
You have to be aware.
Absolutely.
You have to teach yourself to be aware. I don't think you do that like right off the bat. I think it's a learned skill, actually. Mm-hmm.
Once you acknowledge it, it's the first step.
Yeah. I was very interested, though, in what you said before about people coming for a reading and they're... You tell them what you see for that time that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what you're saying is they're attracting that now. But then they can go out the next day and attract...
Completely change it.
So like, I mean, I almost want to say, how do you tell people? Well, I guess you do tell them.
Because that's
you
what you say.
You can change whatever I say.
It all the time, and I also say to them, with the way your mindset is now, with the way you're moving forward, with the choices and decisions you're making, you are on this path.
Okay.
So as long as you stay in that place, then, you know, the path, this is what's coming. And there are a lot of times where they'll say, that's when a lot of times they'll come back in and say, you know, this big thing happened, you know, so-and-so did this, and maybe it's somebody they're with, or maybe it's something that came in. But they usually do know, when, because they are more aware, they usually do know the event or whatever that kind of changed it. Or sometimes they just come back to see, you know, is it still going the same way? And sometimes it's going exactly, you still see the same exact things, and they love that. They love when they see that it's, I mean, how could that happen? How could you have a reading and 4 months later the same exact things come out? And they love when that happens because they are like, okay, I know it's, and maybe it's moved up a little closer, you know. So, and sometimes they do know they've gotten off, and they'll say that, you know, I know I went off for a month or two, but I know I'm back on. I just want to make sure I'm back where I'm going. And it's nice because they do, those are the people that do have a goal. They have, they do have the vision of what they want, and they usually do focus on one thing or the other. Maybe it's somebody who's, they got their career in a good place, they got their money in a good place, their kids are grown, now they want something for themselves. Maybe they want the good, healthy relationship. You know, they had a divorce, blah, blah, blah. And now they want something that's healthy. You don't want just a relationship. And it comes in completely different, because you'll see a love interest, or you'll see partnership, you know, and there's a completely different type of relationships, because some people really do just want to bring in just, you know, a relationship. They don't want the partnership. They don't want the solid thing, you know, and I think it depends on your mindset.
Who doesn't want solid?
Well, sometimes some people just don't want a commitment, you know. They don't want the, where they feel like they're obligated or they have to be responsible to one person. Mm-hmm. Not everybody wants it, but then there's some people that they've been like that, and now they're like, you know what, I want somebody to settle down with. I want somebody to be my companion or share my life with. And I think the biggest things that I've noticed in regards to the law of attraction are money and love. Those are the two that are the most, you know, that, that people come in and they really, that's their desire, you know.
So which one do we want to talk about first, money or love?
Well, and health is in there, but I'm saying those are the two, the biggest ones, you know. It, well, we've done a lot with relationships. I think for relationships, you really have to be, you're going to bring in whatever it is you're thinking about. You know,
right.
If you're in a set pattern, and that's the biggest thing with this, is you get into patterns, and it's from our childhood, it's from past relationships, it's from family, people we've been hanging out with. We get into that pattern. Mm-hmm. So some of us keep, will make the same mistake over and over and over. And sometimes it's just acknowledging that pattern and then finally saying, you know, you have to be okay by on your own, but you have to be okay to say, okay, you know what, I'm the one who's been not doing this right. You know what I mean? Like, I've been, maybe you've been too, maybe you want, you're a fixer and you always want to fix people. You always end up with the person that's needy, that needs help, that's broken. Maybe you're the person who ends up with somebody who's always controlling because you need, you know, maybe it's just the way you grew up. Maybe you always had somebody telling you what to do. So sometimes it's releasing those past patterns. And that's a big thing with the law of attraction because we're set in those. It takes a while to break those and be able to, you know, eventually it's just saying, you know, I know that I'm going to have somebody who's, you know, going to treat you well and be good and be stable. And, you know, mm-hmm. You don't want to put out what you don't want. You always want to say it in what you do want.
In training, like horses and dogs, I was always taught that you shouldn't say or even think, don't do blank, don't go left, don't do, that you should always either vocally or in your mind think what you wanted positively to happen. Now, that's an accepted training technique.
Mm-hmm.
That's the law of attraction.
And for people, it's completely changing how they word things or how they say things.
Or how
they
do things.
Yeah, absolutely. Your
and
actions.
Even with teaching kids, which I taught for a few years, and if you said to a kid, don't sit down, they only heard the sit down part.
Yep.
And they would sit down. And it was like, it took...
All you had to do was say, sit over there.
Right. You have to, like, say what you need to do. You need to sit over there. You need to go over there. You can't say don't do it. It's just, it's funny, but it really isn't every facet. And
well, it's like when somebody says to someone, you know, don't talk to me like that. You're supposed to say, I'm not going to accept you talking to me like that, or I'm going to have somebody who doesn't talk to me. You know what I mean? Like, you're not supposed to say, don't do, like you just said, you don't want to say what you don't want to put out what you fear. You want to put out what you desire, and you don't want to put out what you don't like. You want to put out what you do like. So when you're looking for a specific relationship, you want to put out what you want in the person, not what you don't want. You don't want to say, I don't want somebody who doesn't have a job anymore. I don't want somebody who drinks. I don't want somebody who smokes. You want to say, I want somebody who's got a stable job. I want somebody who, you know, has a good heart. I want somebody who wants to help, you know, who cares about me, who wants to sit on the couch and watch TV, or, you know, that's how you want to word it. So you want to make sure that what you're doing is, you know, in the right way.
Well...
All true. And for those of you who keep saying, I don't want, I don't want, I don't want, well, guess what? The moment you keep saying that, you're going to get it. So we do have a caller right now. And good evening. You are, ooh, I thought I had that. Ah, there we go. Good evening, you're on the air. There he is. You're on Among the Realms here.
Hi, folks. Hi, Jackie. It's Gene. How are you?
Hi, Gene. How are you?
Good. I see you've got a show topic directly related to me every time I come up to see you. I'd like to attract something else besides dust, you know, and static electricity. But it's very interesting how the two topics you just mentioned, relationships and money, seem to be topics that either I bring up or seem to come up when you're working on me. And I've done exactly what you folks are trying to talk about right now, not the I don't want, but more of like just stating positively as if it's here, as if it's now, like my future is bright, it's this, it's that, it's blah, blah, blah. You know, or maybe I should even change my future is bright as saying things are bright. For, you know, just I keep trying to work on it a little bit more and fine-tune it. And it's been interesting that, especially when I get into something like, you know, my future is brighter, things are looking up, blah, blah, blah. There always seems to be a little bit of a, I don't know how I put it, like a little spark that I feel more than some of the other things that, you know, I talk about. So it's very, very interesting how, Jackie will tell you that I seem to have a bit of a, and this basically was my question, I have a bit of a problem with patience, shall we say, like wanting and expecting things to show up. I have to realize that this is not like one of those Star Trek. Yeah, like one of those Star Trek food materializers where you say, give me a plate of spaghetti and boom, it's right there. You know, that things move the way they're supposed to move. You know, you could, I guess things are like a wave. I mean, you can sort of ride the wave. You know, you can either ride it against it or ride with it. But if you ride it the right way, you'll get where you're going, if I understand you all correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly it.
Cool.
Sometimes it doesn't happen at night.
Has it changed for you?
Yeah, and I assume that, you know, you can't. I mean, I think if things are to be what they are to be, they will be. I know it sounds kind of, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. My brain's not quite 100% tonight, but allergy medicine, sorry. They, you can't, like everybody says, oh, I want like this amount of money, that amount of money. Well, if you're supposed to get it, you will. But if you're not, I think some people have an issue with like, well, where is it? I'm waiting for it. Well, you have to sort of keep living life, if I understand it correctly.
Yeah.
It's sort of like getting a birthday card in the mail. You know, you expect it, but you may not know exactly when it's going to show up, if it's coming your way. And if not, then, you know, you still enjoy your birthday one way or the other. You know, it's kind of a simple analogy, but if I'm wrong, correct me. And if not, then I get a lollipop.
Well, it's just having the knowing that it's coming and not putting any expectations on it, or but that, like you said, still going about your business and going about your work and going through, you know, doing all the things that you're saying while keeping that positive mindset, while just having, like, you know, knowing no matter what, and not letting it. Because what happens is people will, they'll be like, I know it's coming, and they'll be like, well, maybe it's not. And it's like, one time they say maybe it's not, but they set themselves back and they got a surprise. So, I mean, you can, you just always want to catch yourself. You don't want to get stuck in that.
Yeah, and frequently I do. And sometimes, I mean, you know, Jackie, I sometimes get into these little, I allow myself to fall down these little wells of funk or whatever, for lack of a better way to put it. And eventually you just got to say, I don't want to be down here, and climb yourself out. Sometimes I swim in it, you know, but then I climb out, dry myself off and say, all right, you know, let's get moving here. But
do you infuse this in your personal as well as business?
Do you use
it in business as well as personal?
Yeah, because there is a situation where I am, where I'm expecting change, or I'm hoping for it, but I'm expecting it. I want it, actually. And I think the more I want it, the more it's likely to happen. And I'm kind of working on that. The problem is where I am. You tend to be, not to toot my own horn, but you, the competent tend to get rewarded with more assignments and work, you know.
We're all
so
we're all shaking, sir.
Yeah, you guys are breaking up just a little bit. So,
what I said was that we've all had the same experience. We were commenting something we can do, and I had one administrator once tell me, you know, I know you're the busiest one, but I give it to you because it seems that you're able to budget your time better than other people. And, you know, it's a compliment, but it's kind of left-handed. What he's doing is saying you're going to get more because you can do it. So.
Yeah, you're being punished for being competent. And I've had people tell me, you get things done. Yeah, well,
right.
Fine, but so what are you paying all these other people to do? Yeah. Sit around.
When you start looking for a promotion, though.
Yeah, there's no other place for me to go at this level, at this
civilian
level.
That's where you just killed yourself.
I'm just going to be bringing in, it won't matter if you're in that because you're still going to make a lot of money.
There you go.
Well, that'd be good.
That's what you say.
Lots of money so I can come up.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Like, oh, I got money. Go ahead. Fine. What do you want me to do? Give me the money. Cool.
Money does
all right,
make
folks. I'm sorry?
Money does make you more independent.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, it's not the be-all and end-all, but it certainly does help when you have it.
Yes, it does.
That's true.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Gene.
Thanks, Gene.
We'll talk to you soon. Good night.
Okay,
bye.
So staying on the money part for a moment here, most people do not know this. I am debt-free. I have been debt-free now for a number of years. And for someone in their mid-30s, younger 30s to even be debt-free, at this time, it's very unheard of unless you're making a lot of money. I've been in the social work field now for numerous years, and if it wasn't for the law of attraction, I wouldn't be where I am right now. When it comes to money and the law of attraction, if you want $1 million, if you want to be a millionaire, you have to say, I do want to be a millionaire, I will be a millionaire. But you also have to live like a millionaire. And I'm not talking about driving a Rolls Royce. I'm not talking about driving a 2015 Acura. I'm talking about reading on what other millionaires do for a living. Like, for example, most millionaires drive a Ford F-150. Why? Because they have their own business, and most of the millionaires in this country live in the Midwest. We're not talking rap stars, sports stars, or anybody else like that in the music industry or in sports. These guys have their own business. Some of them have invested their money very wisely over the years. Why? Because they've gotten the proper education on how to manage their money. So what I did to get out of debt was, A, I found another job just to start paying the bills off. But what I did was, as a form of a vision board, I took all of my bills, all of my loans that I still owed, whether it was credit card, whether it was car loan, whether it was the college loans, whatever it was. I started doing this in my late 20s. And what I did was that after each bill was paid off, whatever money was left with me at the end of each month, I put it to the smallest amount on my bill, on my loan, whatever it was. And, oh, by the way, don't ever put money into the highest interest, because then you're never going to get anywhere. Take it for one who already knows this. Pay off the least amount of loan that you owe. That way it turns into a snowball effect. That way each month you're going to see the numbers shrink each time. And it's like a snowball effect.
You mean the smallest loan.
The smallest loan.
Yeah.
If I've got...
The easiest one to pay off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even if you can't pay it off that month, at least you can see yourself paying off that loan, say maybe in 3 months or 4 months. Mm. Now you have a vision to that vision board, and you can actually see yourself printing or hitting the enter button on that last payment, and then you're done.
Mm.
That's what you're supposed to do. And I will also say this to other people. You have two times out of the year where you could probably make anywhere between $1,500 and $3,000 a year. Actually, I'm going to go 3 days. Memorial Day, July 4th, and Labor Day weekend. Ladies in our area, what happens on those 3 days? You don't drive around. You're in the boonies.
Yes, I know.
Yard sales. Sell your stuff. Sell everything that you don't have, a lot of stuffitis. That's what we used to call it. Any kind of stuff that you know you've been laying around that you don't use anymore, sell it. I have a friend of mine. He got me hooked on eBay, but it was selling the stuff as well that made it more rewarding because it's like, ha, that's just going straight to the bill. And let me tell you something. That last payment that I made on the credit card, I haven't used a credit card in 4 years. 4 years. And I'm not going to say my credit score on the air, but it's still very high. That last payment on the credit card, the amount of stress that just subsided was unbelievable. It was a bliss I couldn't even describe. It's like, wow, finally here. And you know what? You don't have to work that extra job anymore. I do work overtime. But I do it to help other people out now. But when you're not living paycheck to paycheck, you get to enjoy life a little bit more. So for people who are trying to get out of debt, because that's usually the biggest one. Sometimes, yes, you're looking for that other job. But for people who are trying to get out of debt, do what I did. Create a vision board. Put your smallest loans down, and then slowly each month find a way. Just don't close your eyes and say, I'm going to get out of debt. Mm-hmm. You have to will yourself out of debt. You have to will yourself pretty much out of anything. And the more progress you make, the happier you will be. And then when you finally put that last payment in and you're debt free, the sky's the limit.
Well, I think the only problem with that for some people, or at least for the ones that are in front of me, are that's not their situation. They're not single.
That's true.
They're usually like moms left with three kids who are divorced. Their house is in foreclosure. They're already working three jobs. They have kids in, so they have... They don't even have 5 cents. I've been there, so I know that. I know that end of the story.
Sure.
You don't even have $1 to do that. So you can work. There were times where I only slept 3 hours. That's how much I worked. And that's great, though, for people, especially what you were saying when you did that in your 20s. Like, my son, that's what he, not that he's in debt yet, but those are the things that you should be doing before... If you don't have those kind of circumstances,
well, I was
going to
say, how do you help out the single mom now?
Or not even that, the guy who lost his job, who was working there for 30 years, and now he has no job and he can't find a job. And, you still have your kids, they're in high school, some are going to college, you got to pay the bills. And, then there's two people out of work in the home. The only way they can do it where they're actually utilizing the secret is to still be... actively, yes, they're actively looking for work. Yes, they're actively doing some things. But sometimes something will fall in their lap where it will be an opportunity that maybe they can make money. Maybe they only need to put a tiny bit of investment, and that's a great thing. Yes,
right.
You can do a yard sale. You can sell some stuff on eBay to get that little bit of money if it's something that can get you, doing something like that. And, I think all of us have sold on eBay. For me, I've made a lot of money on eBay. So that's... A great thing for someone to do. But for people who are not in that place where maybe they're like desperate and they're trying to do this kind of thing because they just want to take care of their family or feed them and pay the bills and keep a roof over their head. I think that's what happens is they get so desperate it's hard for them to stay in that mindset mm-hmm. of how is it going to happen? How am I going to, like you just said, how is, you know, an extra $1,000 going to come in a month so I can pay the rent? You know, how is that going to happen? And it's that part right there that they're doing wrong. They're thinking about how.
Yep.
They just need to know it is and be doing the work they have to do. As long as they're doing everything they can do. I'm going to talk about the ones who they're in that position and they're sitting at home and they're not doing anything. You know, they're just living in it.
Right.
That's different. You know, I'm talking about the ones that are actively trying to do that. And then the one little piece that they need to get in tune is where their mindset is at the same time. And I think a lot of us have been in those. I mean, we've had money and then some of us have had times where we've had been financially great and then we've had nothing, you know, and unless you've been there, you have no idea what it's like to pick up from, you know, from nothing, literally nothing.
Speaking of millionaires, hello, Charlie. How are you?
Oh, hello. How are you?
Hi, Charlie.
I tell you, it's tough down here. It's tough down here. I've got such
don't
a sunburn.
We're going to hang up on you.
It's so freaking hot down here. I can't believe
Charlie's
it.
Charlie's in Florida.
Compared to like a bug.
Charlie, I'm manifesting $20 from each lady right now. If they give me the 20 bucks, they ask me to hang up on you.
Well, you'll be happy to know that tomorrow night I'm on a plane back up to New Jersey.
No, and it's super cold.
Oh, yeah, it's going to snow.
It's going to be cold, but then next week I go to Aruba.
No, you don't.
Holy crap, is it quiet? No, I don't. No. But I thought this was all about abundance. I thought we were talking about abundance.
We are.
We are.
How to get it.
How to get it.
You have to know, be grateful for what you have.
Absolutely. You have to be 100% grateful for anything you have, even if you think it's nothing. Because what you have is probably more than most people, maybe even in just health perspectives. If you have enough energy and enough vigor to get out there and do a job, even though you don't think it's the right job, but to do it anyway and have a healthy life, you're doing a lot better than a lot of people out there. But You gotta believe, and you gotta do. You gotta do, and you gotta believe. You can't do one without the other. And you know, the whole idea here is so many people get down with rightful reasons. They get down because their situation looks destitute. It looks terrible. It looks bad. They can't smile. They can't laugh at anything. And you know what? There are times when people do get that. There were times when things get so desperate that they got nothing left to do but pray. And, you know, I'm a big believer in prayer.
Yes,
but,
me.
Absolutely. But the idea here is you just got to keep doing what you're doing. Possibly, if things aren't working out for you where you work, you know, think about a change. But you got to keep moving. You can't be paralyzed with the pain that you have. You have to work through that pain no matter what it is. I mean, I think everybody in our office is a great example of that. Whether it's, you know, you, Jackie, with what you're doing with the business and everything. Vera, being a lawyer, that's tough enough. You know, that's always tough. You're going to become a lawyer first and then to actually, you know, get through it and be the lawyer. Granted, you can make a lot of money doing that, but getting there is the tough part. It's not easy, believe me. It's not worth it. Okay, you can say that now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's tough. And, you know, if you don't come out on the rosy end of the stick all the time, it feels like it's even tougher. But you got to just remember that you're doing better than a lot of other people, and you just got to buck up. And I know it's hard to say for some people and for them to believe it, but time's going to come when things are going to get better. It is going to get better. And, you know, I'm on vacation right now, so I could say a lot of things. You know, like I'm back, I go to work on Friday. But, you know, it's just so tough. The idea of abundance. The abundance for me is totally different from what the abundance might be for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just a matter of where you look for your abundance. You know, what you think your abundance should be. Should I have hit that lottery? Everybody in the United States feels like they should have hit the lottery that was like over $500 million. But in reality, you know, there's not that many people that win something like that. So you just got to keep right on working and doing what you got to do. But you also got to understand, too, that your abundance is not always in dollars. It might just be the fact that you are the gift to somebody else.
That's
them
a wonderful
thing. Them seeing you work through that pain. They see you working through that, and that makes it possible for them to work through that pain. You know? It's not always dollars and cents. Everybody measures it that way. But it's not always that. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. I just think that sometimes when people come into the bank and they talk to me, I become more of a friend than I do a banker to them. And the whole idea here is the fact that they know that no matter what the situation, even if it's a family situation, they need to talk to somebody, they can talk to me. I might not always have an answer for them, but at least it's a place for them to vent. And you know what? I think that's my calling. That's my abundance. That's knowing that I have some people that can count on me. It's the end.
It was funny because
it comes out like that, right?
Yeah. It's funny. Just
I think almost everybody in our group feels that way, don't they?
I was just going to say to you that I came home from doing Bring a Friend with Jackie on Friday, and I was telling my husband how wonderful it feels that when I send somebody out that they're so appreciative of the positive words that I give them and the little prayer at the end of when I do a reading, I say for them, you know. And my husband, who's, you know, the cop, the really level-headed part of the twosome here of he and I, he says, That's the greatest gift you can give anybody. Mm-hmm. He says, you should be happy. You should feel so wonderful that you can do that for people. And I honestly believe that really is why I'm doing this now and why I feel so good doing it.
And Friday, the people that came in were good people. They were very grateful. And Charlie, we had almost 60 people in here on Friday. That's how busy it was.
That's a lot of people.
It was crazy busy.
Was a lot of people.
But they were all so happy with everything. And, you know, like Vera said, they left feeling, you know, just, you know, whether it be happier or
big
having some hope
or
and
big hug, you know, the hug.
It's just fulfilling.
It
abundance. I always feel abundance is when you're, you know, you feel fulfilled. And I'm definitely abundant enough in my work. You know, absolutely. And I think that's a big part of bringing more in for abundance in everything, you know, whether it be finances or friendships, relationships, you know, it doesn't matter what health, whatever it is you're trying to do, is being grateful for what you have been given and what you have right now. And knowing that, having the knowing that you're moving along and bringing in more, you know, because you have to be happy with what you have to start with before you could even do that. You can't be, you know, riding around in a beater car saying you hate it, it sucks, it stinks, it's a terrible car, and, you know, not be happy that you actually have a car, if it's a beater or not, and then say, you know, I'm going to get a new one. You have to be grateful for the one you're in, you know.
Or the car will break down, and then you're really going to be mad
at
it even more.
Exactly, you know, and it's the same with, you know, people who they want a bigger house. You know, you have a house, you have four walls, you have a roof over your head. You know, I think about that especially with as cold as it's been up here.
Mm-hmm.
Every night I go to sleep praying for the people I know are outside in it, for the animals that are outside in it. And I sit there going, I am so grateful that I have, you know, a roof over my head, and I just can't even, you know, that I have a bed to get warm in. And I just, every day, especially with the way our weather is, I do every single night, I do it. Because you totally need to be grateful for what you have. You know, maybe you want better clothes, maybe you want nicer clothes, but at least you have clothes. You know?
Yeah. Hey, listen, by the way, right now I'm really grateful because the hotel is serving milk with warm chocolate chip cookies, so I gotta go. Is that okay?
Wait till next week, Charlie.
So what's in that glass of milk? Huh?
Yeah, you are not going to want to know what they're manifesting right now, Charlie.
I guess it's going to be a lot of milk and a lot of cookies.
No, I can't see drinking milk at all.
This is National Wine Day. Didn't you hear that?
It is.
Oh, I have wine in the refrigerator. Never mind.
See, okay. There we go.
Yeah, that's good. Well, anyway, I gotta go
eat
some, drink some wine and eat some cookies then, okay?
Yeah,
eat some wine and drink some cookies.
We're looking forward to seeing you.
Bye, Charlie.
I'll be back. I'll see you guys later, right?
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Charlie. Alrighty.
Vera, you want to tell them about those, you know, the experiments they did?
Well, yeah, I don't know how many people know that I come from a, I don't want to say background because I really haven't been doing it that much, but I come from, I've been studying and have always been interested in shamanic healing. So I've been doing a lot of research and taking a lot of courses and making Dana take them with me and, you know,
have to force me. Yeah.
I know. I'm trying to understand a lot about the shamanic ways. And Sandra Ingerman is a very famous shaman, and she goes all around the world and does these workshops. And what she's been doing for the last several years is testing the power of positive people that come to her workshops. And that doesn't mean that these people are trying to directly change anything, but just the fact that you get a lot of positive people together, how it can change things. So what she does is, in these workshops, is she'll take water and I think it's hydrogen chloric acid, and she'll put it this glass or container in the center, and everyone will do what they normally do at the thing. She'll take the level of the pH before and then after the hours of all these positive people around it, and there's statistical differences in what's occurring in how this becomes less of a poison. And she did another one, and this over and over again.
And she's not telling the people.
She's not even telling them, you know. Yeah. And then another one where she actually did tell them was she was taking a picture of a plant that was in like another country, and they were supposed to send in good vibrations, and somebody had the plant, and I think it was in Europe or Ireland, and they tracked how it grew for the week or 2 weeks after that, and it actually grew a lot bigger than it should have grown in the certain time frame. And so her feeling is that when you have positive people getting together and also with an intent to help something or someone do a healing, whatever, that a lot of, when you have positive people, you can get statistically see a result. And see, that's the whole thing. Statistics, you know, we all like to say, oh, you know, we're really doing something good for each other. You know, it's great when we all get together and we have these positive healing sessions. But when you can see it in black and white and somebody can statistically measure it, that's stuff that you can show to people that don't believe or that are kind of on the fence, that encourages them to be more positive because they're seeing a result that is statistically significant. So, and like I said, Sandra Ingerman, she's wonderful. If anybody out there wants to learn anything about shamanism, it's a wonderful thing. And I'll just tell you my own little thing. She wrote a book about entering the spiritual world. And part of it is about healing and self-healing. And people at this table know that I tore a cartilage and I've been in a lot of pain. And I had a healing from Jackie, which, by the way, helped it immensely on Friday. But I still, it was, I actually was starting to feel like I was never not going to have this pain. And yesterday I read the part of the book about healing and self-healing and manifesting, part of Sandra Ingerman's book. And it says to go to sleep at night and manifest the healing mm-hmm. that you want. So I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And so I did it. And I woke up this morning, and Dana can tell you, I haven't not hurt. Because I was hurting for so long and then woke up this morning, I feel like light. I feel airy. And
your
I,
voice was so different on the phone. I couldn't believe
I
it.
I know. I said, I'm not in pain anymore.
Yeah.
I said, I healed myself overnight. I don't know how I did it. Mm-hmm. I did everything she said in the book, you know, and I believe in shamanic healing and I believe in
manifestation
yeah. and the law of attraction. I don't hurt anymore. And the doctor yesterday said that this was going to go on. When you tear cartilage,
mm-hmm.
it's a long...
It's supposed to,
It's a long recuperation healing, yeah. because it's worse than breaking. He said it's
well,
worse than breaking
Well, they do everything from the scientific end, too. So, like, even when we're talking about people changing their lives health-wise, the reason their illnesses are where they are is because they're focusing on what's wrong with them or because it hurts, you know, and it's... Sometimes they're taking medication, it helps with the, you know, symptoms, not the condition. So they're constantly talking about what they have, and when they don't feel good, it starts to take them over. And then we know we make it worse. It stays longer. And that's why when in The Secret, there's a big section on that, on the health end yep. of how, I mean, literally miracles. People who mm-hmm. had bad eyesight and have 20/20 vision now. Like, it's amazing, but... I know I do that same thing. Like, if I start to feel like I'm a little under the weather or maybe I'm getting anything, like, I go to sleep like that. I go to sleep healing myself. And I wake up in the morning and I don't feel any, like, I'm like, oh, okay. So in all the years, like, and obviously we do have things that happen where, maybe we hurt ourselves or we don't feel good or whatever, but it's never to, I never let it, where I'll say, okay, that hurts or whatever, but I never let it get to a point where it takes over me and I'm, like, giving it so much energy that I feel like I have to pay attention to it. I try to not think about it, and it's really hard to not think about pain. And it's the first thing we're taught to do, you know? Right. So
when you were giving me that energy healing, you were going, there's something really, like, significant.
Well, it was inflamed, you know.
You're like, it. I can feel stuff pulsing, and I knew it because I was, it was just, it was so, so painful. And for me to wake up the next morning or this morning and be pain-free, I feel that the law of positive,
I don't think people think they can do that. People don't think they can think themselves well.
You have to, yeah.
And I disagree, you know. I know people who think themselves sick.
Well, if you can do that, then you can do that.
Absolutely, yep.
How do people, and this is the obvious question coming from me, how do people think themselves better? Like, you said you were going to sleep, and then the next morning you felt fine. What's the process?
But that's
an intention.
Yep.
That's
right before you go to sleep, you say exactly what it is, and then that you know it's working on you while you're sleeping. Your thoughts are working, even though you don't know they are.
Right. My intention is to dream tonight, and this dream, the intention that I'm setting for this dream, because it's all about dreaming, and that's what shamanism is about. It's like lucid dreaming, but you can do it while you're doing not lucid dreaming, which is dreaming. And I is to dream. To get a healing for myself. And that's how I went to sleep. And that's not to say I didn't wake up several times.
And I do it where I actually ask, like, I work with the angels, so I ask Archangel Michael, I ask Archangel Raphael, especially if I'm feeling where I feel sick or feel like I'm getting ill or I'm fighting something. I ask them, you know, for help. And there are a lot of people, I know there's a lot of people that work with angels, so they kind of know how, you know, that kind of stuff work. And then there's the people that are going to listen that are like, that's ridiculous. There's no way that can work. But listen,
you know,
there's
what?
People who pray and miracles occur. Mm-hmm. I try to tell people it is no different. You know, it's the energy you're emitting.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, before I read this book, I would have said to you, you can't, you know, what do you mean you're going to think yourself, dream yourself well?
Oh, but, you would have gone for it.
Oh, you think so? Well, the point is that I read the book and I was in such pain that I really wanted to give it a try, and I'm so amazed at the results.
I don't think there's anything, though. I think we're the kind of people that, like, we say, unless you prove it's not there, it is there. Mm. So I think we are far more open. We give things, we have an open mind. We give things a chance. I don't really think there's anything that's come through where we've been like, okay, we may not have used it, or maybe we don't know a lot about it, even when other people talk about maybe some of their things, and we'll say, oh, that's great if that works for you, you know. And I remember Charlie even saying that about one of the doctors he went to that said that, you know, when he was doing the healing, you know, to help with something, and that doctor said, you know, if it works for you, then that's great. Like, that was a doctor that, you know, thought out of the box.
And, you know, when I'm doing readings for people, I get their power animal for them, and it's supposed to have the characteristics. I tell them these are the characteristics you need for this time in your life in reference to the question that you're asking. And I say, are you familiar with the concept of a power animal? And, you know, most people not. Shamanism is not a really well-known art. So I'll say, well, do you believe in guardian angels? And some people will say yes or no. Do you believe in angels? Do you believe in spirit? You know, there's always some part of that belief system that that they'll relate to. And I say, well, it's basically the same thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it's good if they can start, even if they're not into that type of thing, if people can just start at least with their own thoughts. You know, it's a simple thing. I say it's simple, but it's not really that simple for some people when you're kind of conditioned into that thinking. So it's also not easy for them to think that way if they don't believe. I mean, if you don't truly believe in, and I think that's part of the law of attraction, you know, really just giving it up to whatever it is and saying, okay, I'm just going to trust and believe. And it's hard for people to do that, you know, because there's still that little bit. And that's the part that blocks. It's that little teeny voice that says, there's no way this is going to work. I'm going to say it is, but there's no way this is going to work, because then it's not. You know, you're doing two opposite.
I know. I remember I was so firmly believing this thing that I was, when in fact I didn't totally cure myself 100%, I was so disappointed.
Oh, remember?
I did.
You got to give people a little bit more of a background, because they don't know from when.
Well, whatever.
Thinking.
You know, it's like, you know, I had this, something happened, you know, illness took over, and it's like sort of out of the blue. And then, but
do you remember what we said to you? There's something you're going to learn from this.
Yeah.
There's a path you're meant to take.
Well,
and
I
you
did.
will learn things, that this is not in a vacuum that you're getting this illness. It's meant to help for something else in your life. So,
which it did.
Yes, it did.
which I'm still learning.
There you go.
I mean, it's been amazing.
I know.
I mean, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. Well, no,
yeah.
Not quite.
Well, yeah.
But
don't go that far.
But yeah, right.
But listen, I have no regrets, really, because it has opened up some amazing things. So what?
And
somebody,
look how vibrant and glowing you look today.
I know.
Except for that mask. Forgot about that.
Oh, good God. Hannibal Lecter.
I'm getting younger by the minute here.
She is. She's reversing
the aging
process.
I'm the most happy person I know.
You don't know many people.
I put up with a lot of things.
I know.
This
and
ladies
I'm
and gentlemen, is the law of attraction. The more Dana speaks, the more Vera is going to have a comeback for her. It's just going to escalate here. There's not enough wine for this show either.
Yeah, but we've all changed a lot. Yeah. Like, I think we totally did that. In fact, Dana was just saying that about me, which is nice to hear. But just the way, using the law of attraction when your friends and can see it actually working,
yes.
and how you're changing with it, and how things have evolve from it. It's nice because you know you're doing it, but when somebody acknowledges, wow.
And at the same time, when you are using the law of attraction, you are going to have a few people that are just going to go in a different path than you.
Oh, gotcha.
And you won't be talking to them for weeks, months, years, depending on
forever.
Or forever. Or forever.
Never mind. More than a few.
We miss you.
With love and light.
That's what we say at the end of every negative thing. That we say, in love and light.
Go screw yourself. Mark, I really need you because I really got to learn how to take control of the show here. This is just not happening.
He'd be right in there.
He'd be right. Yeah, he would be.
He'd be like with love and light and a big kick in the ass. That's how he'd say it.
Or no, a supersized slushie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
yeah,
too.
That true.
Oh, we're going to wean you off those, Mark. When do you get back?
You
have to stop laughing. No. The spirit that was floating around went away.
I don't blame that spirit.
He ran for cover.
He was
been lighting it up.
Because we're talking about all positive.
Yes, and he was liking
it. The wine bottle's in the way. I didn't get to see the light.
He was blowing. For those of you at home, we had a K2 meter we put out sometimes because there's so much positive energy that floats around and it's been lighting up, but it has now ceased. So
I don't know. We're done?
We're done.
Well, before we go, if anyone has any questions, comments, or concerns after the show, and you are in a local northern Northeast New Jersey area,
yes.
You can stop by the store at any time here at the Trinity Metaphysical Center. Most of us are all here at some point throughout the week.
Throughout the day.
Or yeah. Throughout the day.
Yeah.
You know, some of us are, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to come just for readings if you want to learn more about this.
Just pop in and say hi.
We are right off of Route 23 in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, take 23 north. Once you pass the Domino's on your left, where the next plaza on the left. And feel free to come on in. We'll be more than happy to talk about this or any other subject that you may have. Anything else coming up this month that has to do with this
one? Well, we just did Bring a Friend.
We want to thank everyone for coming to that Bring a Friend because
that was crazy.
That was phenomenal.
That was awesome.
That was great. We hope all of you come back.
Such nice people, too.
Yes. We hope you all come back next month and bring a few more friends if you enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Is it just once a month? Or is it
Once a month.
The second Friday of every month. And then the third Thursday of every month, we have Reiki Share with Jen. So that's going to be tomorrow.
It's the third Thursday already?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then starting at the beginning of next month, I'll be doing my healing course.
Ooh.
Yeah, this would be interesting.
Can't wait. The first one was phenomenal. I'm going to audit the beginning of the second one and then take the second part of it. It was wonderful.
Audit.
Mm.
Okay.
To refresh.
Refresher.
So with the law of attraction, everyone, make sure you either read The Secret or watch The Secret. It's on YouTube.
Listen to it. Go to YouTube.
Yeah, definitely on YouTube. And for those of you who are in your late teens, early 20s, you know how to copy stuff from YouTube right to a CD. You can just...
It's on Netflix, too.
It's on Netflix.
Documentary, yep.
You know, very, very accessible. And again, if you have any other questions, listen to the show once again if we didn't cover it.
And next week we have a really cool show because we're going to talk about...
Uh-oh.
Yes.
What are we talking
about? Paul was sick yesterday, so
he
wasn't here. So next week we're going to talk about famous people in history who were psychic or prophets or whatever. And there are actually a lot. We were talking about it, and then, you know, we had a few people in class who said, you know, we should do that as a radio show subject, so that's what we're going to do. And it's actually quite interesting because I think people are going to be surprised at some of the people who, or famous people who actually used psychics, you know, to do their work and things like that, too. So there's a lot of historical figures who were psychic. For people who think that they're not real.
I wish you could see your hand. Doing all these hand gestures.
Yeah, we need to have a video.
That will be a lot of fun. That'll be very interesting.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
I have to do some more research on that. That'll be interesting.
So from everyone,
we were talking about Einstein yesterday being that way, and a lot of people didn't know that.
Carl
Jung.
Tesla.
Yep. So it's exciting.
Cool.
It'll be fun.
George Washington. Oh my God, his eyes just rolled back.
You see, because if you girls keep talking about it, you're just going to get into the next episode right now.
Okay, well, you get.
So we have to save it for everyone else.
It's a teaser. It's a
yes. So from everyone here at the Trinity Metaphysical Center, we want to wish everyone a good night. And hopefully we will hear from you guys next week.
Yeah,
so
call in.
Call in. Don't be afraid. Only Vera bites. See, now I got the look of death. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.